إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه وبعد. Today inshallah in the Tarbiyah series we will speak about the importance of praying the Sunnah and the Masnoon Adhkar after the Fard Salawat. Among the many things that we seem to have left, these are the two that we seem to have left almost completely. Among the Sunnah to be prayed, of course the most important Sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is Tahajjud, and we will talk about that separately maybe tomorrow. But among the other Sunnah which are very, very important to pray, the first and most important Sunnah, which is almost at the level of Fard, is the Tahiyyatul Masjid. The two rakat that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam ordered, that whenever you enter a masjid, pray two rakat Tahiyyatul Masjid before you sit down. Sometimes people make a lot of mistakes. I've seen some people, they come into the masjid, they sit down, then they stand up and pray two rakat Tahiyyatul Masjid. That's, if you sat down, there is no Tahiyyatul Masjid. So, you pray two rakat Tahiyyatul Masjid before you sit down. And this salat is to be prayed in every masjid on the face of the earth, including the haram. Some people make the mistake and they say in the haram the tawaf is Tahiyyatul Masjid. No, Tahiyyatul Masjid is two rakat. Don't make life difficult on yourself. If Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said two rakat nafil is Tahiyyatul Masjid, you pray two rakat nafil. If you make a new rule and say tawaf is tahiyyatul masjid in the haram, that means every time you enter the haram, you have to make tawaf first. I mean, that's not easy, eh? It's very tough. Allah has made the deen easy. Why do you want to make it tough on yourself? And in any case, creating something in the ibadah when it's not there is haram. So there's no question of making rules that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam didn't make. So two rakat of nafil tahiyyatul masjid. The importance of this salah is seen from the fact that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was delivering a khutbah when a man entered the masjid and he was about to sit down. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam interrupted the khutbah and told him, pray two rakat before you sit down. So this is even during the khutbah. Now Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi, in his madhab, tahiyyatul masjid is to be prayed at all times, only except when the khutbah is going on, the Arabic khutbah from the minbar is going on, right? So he has a dalil for that. So the Ahnaf, they do not pray Tahiyyatul Masjid. Of course, our Ahnaf do not pray Tahiyyatul Masjid anyway. I don't know where that dalil is from, but Imam Abu Hanifa didn't say that. That's our own personal Hanafi dalil. So let us not fall into this trap. Pray two rakat Tahiyyatul Masjid, no matter what else is happening. The only condition, two things. One is if the time you enter the masjid is one of the times when salat is mamnu, when salat is prohibited, at that time of course you do not pray anything, you just sit down. And another issue is if the salat is actually going on, if you enter the masjid and the jamaat is on, then you don't pray tahiyyatul masjid, immediately join the jamaat. So except for these two situations, when the salat, the fard salah is going on, you naturally join the fard salah. You do not pray sunnah, you do not pray anything. That's another mistake people make. We'll come to that inshallah. So you just join straight away the jamaat which is in progress. And if the time when you enter the masjid is one of the times when salah is prohibited, then you do not pray two rakat tahiyyatul masjid. You just sit and wait for the fard salah to start. But other than that, this is a very important sunnah which we seem to have left, which is to pray two rakat tahiyyatul masjid, nafil, when we enter the masjid. Second important thing now, as far as the sunnah is concerned, the sunnah before and after the first salawat. In salatul fajr, there is two rakat of sunnah before salatul fajr, before the fard, and Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to pray this very, very regularly. This is sunnah mu'akkada, which is almost at the level of fard, and therefore it is to be prayed two rakat salatul two rakat sunnah before the fard salat. Now, if you enter the masjid and you find that maybe there is, you don't have enough time to pray 2 rakat tahiyatul masjid and then separately 2 rakat of sunnah of fajr, you can make the niyyah of both these salat and simply pray 2 rakat, which is inshallah enough for you for tahiyatul masjid and sunnah, right? So that's a convenience that has been given. Of course, some people, the minute they know this now, they will never pray 4 rakat again for the rest of their lives. They only pray 2 rakat with 2 niyat. Huh? Don't do that. Don't become lazy. But alhamdulillah, this ruqsat is there. So there is 2 rakat of sunnah before Salatul Fajr. There is 4 rakat of sunnah to be prayed together before Salatul Zuhr, and 2 rakat after Salatul Zuhr. And then there is no sunnah before or after Salatul Asr. There is no sunnah before Salatul Maghrib, but 2 rakat after Maghrib. There is no sunnah before Isha, but there is 2 rakat of sunnah after Isha. And then there is the witr. Now, there is one hadith of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam where he said that the one who prays the 12 rakat of sunnah in the whole day, that person, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, he said, will give him a palace in Jannah. And what are these 12 sunnah? Two before Fajr, 4 and 2 in Zuhr. 4 before Zuhr, 2 after Zuhr. So that is how many? 6 plus 2 is 8. 2 after Maghrib, 10. And 2 after Isha, 12. So these 12 rakat of sunnah are sunnah muakkada. Now people ask, should I pray 4 rakat before Salatul Asr? Of course, most welcome. There is no regulation on the number of nawafil that you can pray. So you can pray as many as you want, irrespective of that. But that is not sunnah muakkada. You want to pray, most welcome. Nothing wrong with praying. But if somebody is not praying, it is not something which is not, it is not sinful. But if somebody deliberately leaves, and please understand this, if somebody deliberately leaves the sunnah mu'akkada, the person is committing a sin. Now we find a lot of people, they simply pray the fard and they go away. Now inshallah we believe about them that they are following the mustahab practice of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, where he said pray the sunnah at home. So if somebody is just walking out of the masjid, immediately you don't have to jump to the conclusion that he is not praying sunnah. No, maybe he is better than you. He is praying the sunnah at home. Alhamdulillah. And that is a better thing to do than to pray it in the masjid. Right? It is mustahab. Not to pray sunnah and nafil and nafil and nafil and nafil, what, you know, hours and hours. No. Go and pray. Rasulullah said, do not make your homes into graveyards. He said, don't make a home into a qabristan, because there is no salah which is to be prayed in the qabristan. And therefore, he said, do not make your home into a graveyard or a cemetery. Pray sunnah and so on at home, because this is good tarbiyah for the children and for others, and also the Quran should be recited at home. So alhamdulillah, you pray the fard in the masjid, then you go home and you pray the sunnah in the masjid. There is and similarly for Salatul Fajr, for example, you can pray sunnah. Supposing you hear the adhan, you can pray 2 rakat sunnah at home, and then you come to the masjid, you pray 2 rakat tahiyatul masjid, and then you join the salah of fajr. So praying sunnah at home is not only fine, that is the preferred thing to do, that is better to do than to pray it in the masjid itself. But not to pray at all, just to leave it and go away. I just pray the fard, then you go home. This is sinful, because you are deliberately leaving a sunnah muakkada, a sunnah that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam never left. A sunnah muakkada is what? Sunnah muakkada is something that he always did. To deliberately leave that is a sinful act. Hopefully it is for those who do it, maybe they do it out of ignorance, may Allah forgive them. But deliberately to do it, knowing that it's a sunnah muakkada, is sinful. Please do not do this. That's why I begin always with the targhib, with the benefits of doing it. Now, why would you want to leave something which gives you a palace in Jannah unless your iman is in the doldrums? You know, you don't believe in Jannah, maybe Allah alam. La hawla quwwata illa billah. If you believe in Jannah, then why would you want to leave a palace in Jannah? Right? So, therefore, and you're getting one every day. One every day. Then, about the Zuhr Salat, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the hadith of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he said, and listen to this one carefully, he said, the one who prays 4 rakat before and 4 rakat after, not 2, 4 rakat after, he said, Allah will make the fire of Jahannam haram on him. Now, what is the four rakat after? It is two rakat sunnah and two rakat nafil. Now, as far as the sunnah is concerned, or as far as the nawafil is concerned, the hadith of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, where he said, pray two by two. So, all the nawafil should be prayed two by two, not four and so on, except where Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam prayed four. So, for example, the four rakat of sunnah before zuhr is to be prayed as four rakat, not two and two. Right? But anything else when you pray it two by two, no matter at what time it is. So, the sunnat of the sunan which are associated with the fard salawat are an extremely important thing. Please do not leave it. Whether you pray it in the masjid or you pray it at home, alhamdulillah, no problem. That's as I said, it's even better to pray it at home. So, by all means, if you pray fard in the masjid, go home, no problem. But don't leave it. That's the very, very important thing. Do not leave it. Ensure that you pray. And Tahiyatul Masjid, when you enter the masjid, Tahiyatul Masjid is very, very, very important. Do not sit down unless you pray two rakat Tahiyatul Masjid. And this also applies to Jummah. If the, like in our this masjid here and most masajid, you have the bayan, the lecture before the khutbah, which is in whichever language, do not sit down unless you pray two rakat Tahiyatul Masjid. No matter how interested you are in listening to the lecture, no problem. So come early. I mean, no one stops you from coming early. Come early to the masjid. That's a very, very good thing to do. Come early to the masjid. Pray two rakat Tahiyatul Masjid. Sit down, read some Quran. Then the lecture starts. Listen to the lecture. Then the khutbah. Alhamdulillah. That is the ideal thing to do. But even if you come a bit later, do not sit down unless you pray two rakat Tahiyatul Masjid. Then we come to the Masnoon Azkar of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the Azkar that he used to do, and all of these Azkar are also Sunnah Muakkada, and we seem to have left them all. May Allah forgive us. And on top of that, we add things, we make Dua Istema'i, and we make this loudly. This is not the Sunnah. Please understand very clearly. This is not the sunnah. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did not make dua loudly after every fard salah as if it is part of the fard. This is not the sunnah. Anyone who is doing it is going against the sunnah of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. As simple as that. Right? Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and the Sahaba used to make dua after fard salah. It is good to make dua after any ibadah. The best of ibadat are the fard salah. And to make dua after fard, alhamdulillah, no problem. But Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and the Sahaba used to make dua infiradi, individually, and they did not make it loudly. So do not change the deen, do not add things into the deen which is not there. Right? To make dua loudly, the imam making dua loudly and the muqtadeen saying ameen, this by itself is a sunnah, no problem. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did that in many cases. He did that from the khutbah, from the mimbar, he did that otherwise, he did it just like that, he did it after fard salah, but he did not make it into a regular habit after every fard salah. So once in a while after Jummah you do it, once in a while after in some fard salah you do it, once in a while, that's fine. But to make this into a, as if it's a regular ritual part of salah, which is what happens in many places which we see. It's almost like it is part of salah. If somebody gets up during that dua, people get upset. The dua itself you are doing is wrong. Why are you upset with somebody getting up? Eh? And the imams must have the guts to speak the truth and tell people if they are doing wrong. But people don't do that. Eh? You don't do that. I tell people, if you don't have the guts to do imamat, don't do imamat. If you don't want to go against whatever is happening in the masjid, go stand and pray. Nobody stops from praying. The sin of doing something wrong is not on your head. But if you are doing something, you know it is wrong. What kind of thing is this? Now, if you happen to go to some masjid by yourself one day and somebody makes you imam, and there if the practice is to do this dua, and if you do dua and your niyyah is to do that, I am doing it only once, I am there, Allah alam. But in any case, you are supporting something which is not correct. Right? So therefore, this loud dua by the imam and the muqtadeen saying ameen after every fard salah as if it is a part of the fard, this is not the sunnah, this is incorrect, this is wrong. According to every madhab, there is no difference of opinion about this. To do it once in a while for some reason, no problem, alhamdulillah. But what did Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam do? And this we have forgotten. We have left completely. What he did, we leave and we invent from ourselves. La hawla wala quwwata illa billah. What he used to do is as follows. When immediately after the Fard Salah, he would say, Allahu Akbar, Astaghfirullah, Astaghfirullah, Astaghfirullah. Then he would say, Allahumma anta salam, wa minka salam, wa ilayka irju salam, tabarakta rabbana wa ta'alayta ya zal jalali wal ikram. All of these adhkar are there on that chart. Please go, read them, memorize them, inshallah. And then after doing these two things, after saying these two things, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would turn around completely and sit facing the muqtadeen. And then he would do the rest of the azkar. And what are the rest of the azkar? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to first recite ayat al-kursi. And see the benefit of each one of these things. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the one who recites ayat al-kursi after the fard salah, the only thing which stops him from entering Jannah is the fact that he is alive. As soon as he dies, Allah will give him Jannah. Some of the ulama have ruled to say that therefore it is better to even read the ayat al-kursi in salah before salam. So after you finish your attahiyat and your dua and durood and everything else, he said, read ayat al-kursi just before salam, and then of course after salam you read ayat al-kursi again. So this is double guarantee, inshallah, that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the one who reads ayat al-kursi after salah is, inshallah, he is in Jannah. This person is in Jannah, he or she. The only thing keeping them in this world is the fact that they are alive. The minute they die, they are going to Jannah. You got a problem with going to Jannah? Seriously, people have to think. You are in such a big hurry to run somewhere, you don't want Jannah. What is this? So ayat al-kursi used to, after saying these two azkar, he would turn around and face, and turn around and face is for the imam. It's not for the whole muqtadeen, don't have to turn. Next thing you know, everyone is facing the other direction, the imam at the back. No. It's only for the imam to turn around and face, because he was always the imam, of course. But of course, the muqtadeen, you don't have to turn around anywhere. But recite, read ayat al-kursi. And after we read ayat al-kursi, then he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, would read, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ سُورَةُ الْإِخْلَاسِ and the مُوَدَّتَيْنِ قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِفَلَقٍ and قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ. He would read these three surahs once each, except in Salatul Fajr and Salatul Maghrib, where he would read them three times each. Right? Then he would do the Zikr Fatimi, which is Subhanallah 33 times, Alhamdulillah 33 times, and Allahu Akbar 34 times. And then he would say, أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. له الملك وله الحمد وهو على كل شيء قدير. لا أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد وهو على كل شيء قدير. He would say this once, right? In another narration, it is 33, and then this once. The the more authentic one is 33, 33 and 34, inshallah, alhamdulillah. So, this is the zikr fat. Now, what's the benefit of this zikr? The hadith associated with this zikr is that Fatima, and that, why is it called zikr Fatima? Because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's daughter, Fatima to Zahra radiallahu anha, one day there were some prisoners of war which had come, and she wanted a servant for herself because she had a very difficult time doing, you know, various chores of the house and various things and getting water from a long distance away and so on. So she went, Ali radiallahu anhu said to her, why don't you ask your father to give you a servant? So she went with the intention of asking Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but she didn't enter the room and she just stood there for a little while and she went back. Now Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam noticed that she had come. So after all of this finished, he went to her house and he asked her, why did you come? I saw you came to see me. So she said, Ya Rasulullah, she said, this is the issue. I came because I am very tired with all the housework and all of this. So if I can please have a servant. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, shall I tell you something which is better than that, which will take away all your difficulties and tiredness and which will help you? And she said, Ya Rasulullah, please tell me what is it? And he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught her this dhikr. Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, and Allahu Akbar. And he said, do it after every fard salah and do it the last thing before sleeping in the night. And inshallah, you do it. Rasulullah used to do this zikr before sleeping in the night, and he would blow on his on his blessed hands, and he would pass them over his whole body. And Subhanallah, if you do that, you find you sleep well and you will not be tired, inshallah. You won't have any exhaustion. So this dhikr, Fatimi, you do this. And then you end it with, أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَحْدَهُ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ لَهُ الْمُلْكُ وَلَهُ الْحَمْدُ وَهُوَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ. After that, you say, أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَحْدَهُ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ لَهُ الْمُلْكُ وَلَهُ الْحَمْدُ يُحْيِي وَيُمِيتُ. You add this piece, يُحْيِي وَيُمِيتُ وَهُوَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ. And you say this 10 times. Now, what is the benefit of this dhikr? Rasulullah said, the one who does this, who recites this 10 times, he will get the reward of releasing 10 slaves, and those also the most expensive of slaves, of freeing 10 slaves. Now, we, alhamdulillah, live in a time when there is no slavery, but that is the good side of it. The so-called downside of it, if you want to call it, is that we don't have now the ability to free slaves, because there are no slaves. So, this one ibadah, we will be deprived of. We cannot do this, right? If you want to earn hasanat by freeing slaves, there are no slaves. So, here is a way where you can get the reward of freeing slaves without spending 1 cent, even if you had the money, without even spending 1 cent. Which is the reward of freeing 10 slaves. Can you imagine? So, 50 slaves per day. The reward of freeing 50 slaves per day. You are reading this dhikr 10 times after every salah, 5 salahs, 50 slaves per day. This is the reward of that. And then you say, Allahumma la mani'a lima atayta wa la mu'ti lima manata wa la yanfuzu al-jadd minka al-jadd. And that is the end of the azkar after the fard salat. Only then you raise your hand, you make dua, and then you stand up and either go home and do your sunnah, or you stand up and make the sunnah here, whichever is convenient for you, inshallah. This is the proper way of doing the fard salah, right? Not immediately, as soon as you pray, you make salam, you stand up and start praying sunnah. No. What should we do with this azkar of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? I mean, seriously think about this. First and foremost is the sin of deliberately not doing the sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Second thing is, leave the sin aside. Leave the sin aside. Why do you want to deprive yourself of the enormous amount of blessings that are there in this? Huge hasanat. What is the value? And I always remind myself, if you feel lazy or you want to get up, think about this. What if I die now? Right? I did not do the azkar, and I stood up and prayed sunnah and I dropped dead. Of course, even then that's good, because you dropped dead in the masjid after salah. But I'm saying that these hasanat of this sunnah did not come into your account, obviously, because you didn't do them. Now, on the day of judgment, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, a person will enter Jannah by the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone, not by his actions. They asked him, Ya Rasulullah, what about you? He said, me also. Right? And then they said, Ya Rasulullah, then why must we do anything good? He said, because Allah will give you the levels in Jannah, the darajat in Jannah, based on the good that you do. And in another hadith, he said, a man will be sitting in Jannah, and he will feel a beautiful breeze, very fragrant breeze. And he will say, where is this breeze from? The people who are there around him, the khuddam, the servants, they will say, this breeze is from one level above you. From the Jannah, which is one level above your own. So the man will say, well, you know, subhanAllah, there's somebody higher than me. Maybe he did so many good things and he did a lot of asanat. This man will be told, no, he didn't do all that. All he did was, he said, subhanAllah, one time more than you did in your life. That's it. He just said, subhanAllah, once. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is adil. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَمِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَى وَمِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ شَرًّا يَرَى. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, you will be shown. So, obviously, if somebody does one, if he spends 1 cent more, if he spent 1 second more in the remembrance of Allah, if he prayed 2 rakat more, if he said subhanAllah once more, he has to be given the reward for this, because Allah is adil. Allah will not deprive him of the reward. Why will Allah deprive him? Allah will give him. Now, think about this, that we deliberately left the Masnoon Azkar, sin apart, you deprived yourself of the guarantee of Jannah, because you did not pray, you did not recite Suratul, you do not recite Ayatul Kursi, you deprived yourself of the recitation of the Quran in the three surahs of the Quran. You deprived yourself of the benefits of the Zikr Fatimi. You deprived yourself of the benefit of releasing 10 slaves. You deprived yourself of the benefit of the dua. For what? Why did you deprive yourself? Who stopped you? It didn't cost any money. You had the time, you had the leisure, everything. Why did you deprive yourself? It doesn't make any sense whatsoever. So please make this into something. And this, I've seen this, Allah, may Allah forgive us. So many places. People who should know better, people who know all of these hadiths, who teach these hadiths, may Allah forgive us. La hawla wa quwwata illa billah. We must learn to practice what we know. Not just leave it to something where we recite and we teach and we do this and that, and then in our own life somebody is standing and watching. Nothing. I just recited, I just explained the benefits of Tahiyatul Masjid, but when I come to the Masjid, I come and relax. Don't know Tahiyatul Masjid. You know, what is the point? Now please, let us be very clear. The reward of the deed, the reward of the knowledge is only when it is applied. There is no reward for just knowing something, no. The reward is when it is applied. And therefore, let us, I always say, I remind myself and I tell people, most people today, the way we are here, I'm talking about the so-called educated people, Muslims, most of them already know enough to enter into Jannah, even if they do not learn one single word more from today. Even if they learn nothing more from today, even if they learn nothing more, they already know enough to enter into Jannah. So what is stopping them? May Allah give them Jannah, may Allah give all of us Jannah. What stops us is not the amount of knowledge. What stops us is the amount of application. We don't apply. We know. We know this, we know this, we know this. And many people like to go and learn, so they go and learn. But then you ask, what did you apply out of what you learnt? Nothing. That's why, you know, let's not do this to ourselves. Do not deprive yourself of the goodness that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, which comes to us free of cost. Absolutely free. Nobody, you don't have to pay for it. There's no money involved, nothing. Just do it. That's all there is. So very, very simple. From today, let us make the niyyah. We will never leave a sunnah mu'akkada deliberately. And we will never not do the azkar masnuna after the fourth salah. We will do them always, inshallah. Illa mashallah, maybe someday with some big hurry you have got and you got to run somewhere. That's okay, inshallah. But as far as possible, ensure that you do all of that. All of the azkar are to be done as you are sitting. You complete all this and then you can stand and pray. Sometimes people ask me, do I have to necessarily move to some other place to pray? No. You can pray in the same place, no problem. The question of moving is because Rasulullah said that every piece of the earth where you pray will bear witness on your behalf. And that's the reason why we move and we pray in different places. But it's not far to move. If you don't want to move, no problem. As long as you have prayed and done the azkar, you can stand in the same place and you can pray. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us to practice whatever we learn and we teach. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless us in keeping with His majesty and grace. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya rahman rahim.